$12 billion. That's how much one country saved by betting on the sun. And it's not who you'd expect. Good morning. Welcome to Brightside Daily. I'm Rory, alongside Elizabeth.
And today, we've got four stories that prove the clean energy revolution isn't coming. It's already here.
We'll start with Pakistan's remarkable solar transformation and what it means for the developing world.
Plus, a kidney disease breakthrough that could change millions of lives. Let's get into it.
$12 billion. That's how much Pakistan has saved by not importing fossil fuels since 2020. And this year alone, that figure is expected to hit another $6.3 billion. Now, Pakistan isn't a country you'd normally associate with clean energy leadership. For years, it struggled with crippling power shortages. Roaming blackouts hit millions of homes and businesses. The economy took a beating, but then something shifted. The government went all in on solar. And the numbers tell the story. According to analysis from the Renewables First and the Center for Research on Energy think tanks, domestic solar deployment hasn't just cut carbon emissions, it's shielded the economy from wild swings in global energy prices.
And that's the bit people miss, isn't it? This isn't just a climate story, it's a security story. When you generate your own power, you're not at the mercy of geopolitics or fossil fuel markets.
Exactly. And for developing nations watching from the sidelines, Pakistan's proved something crucial. You don't have to choose between economic growth and clean energy. You can have both.
And the savings keep growing. $6.3 billion projected for this year. That's money that stays in the country, building schools, roads, hospitals.
There are caveats, of course. We don't have full data on the upfront infrastructure costs, so the net return is harder to pin down. And grid storage remains a challenge. But here's the question worth sitting with. If Pakistan can do this in 6 years, what's stopping everyone else?
Imagine being told you have a disease that's slowly destroying your kidneys, and then being told there's basically nothing new they can do about it. That's been the reality for millions of people living with IgA nephropathy, one of the most common forms of kidney disease worldwide. Until now, the FDA has granted accelerated approval to Voigzact, a new drug developed by Otsuka that specifically targets the condition. It works by reducing proteinuria, the excess protein in urine that signals ongoing kidney damage. The approval came after strong results from the phase 3 Visionary trial. And for patients who've watched their kidney function slowly decline with limited options, this is genuinely significant.
What strikes me is how long this gap has existed. This is one of the most common causes of kidney disease, and patients have been managing it with blood pressure medication and hope. That's essentially been the toolkit.
Right. And it can progress to full kidney failure, meaning dialysis or transplant. So having a treatment that actually targets the disease mechanism, not just the symptoms, is a real shift. Now, this is an accelerated approval, which means longer-term studies are still needed to confirm whether it prevents kidney failure outright. And we don't yet know about cost or insurance coverage. But for the millions of people living with this condition, today's a day they've been waiting years for.
All right, shifting gears, let's talk about something that affects people in almost every city on Earth: housing.
My favorite light topic.
Right? But here's a city actually doing something about it. Charleston, South Carolina has launched Project 3500. The goal is exactly what it sounds like: 3,500 affordable housing units by 2032. Now, you might think, politicians promise housing all the time. And you'd be right. But what's different here is the specificity. Mayor William Cogswell hasn't just said, "We'll build more homes." He's put a number on it, a deadline on it, and tied it to a community engagement process. Charleston has a particularly sharp housing problem. Tourism drives the economy, but it also drives up rents. Short-term rentals eat into the housing stock, and hospitality wages don't keep pace with what it costs to actually live there.
I think the community engagement part is what makes this interesting. They're not just deciding from the top and building. They're going neighborhood by neighborhood, asking residents what they actually need.
And that matters, because we've seen what happens when you build affordable housing without community input. It stalls, people resist it, projects fail.
The hard part will be sustaining this across multiple election cycles. Housing projects take years. Political priorities shift.
True. But setting a public, measurable target means voters can hold them to it. And sometimes, that's exactly the kind of pressure that gets things built.
814 gigawatts. That's how much new wind and solar capacity the world added in a single year. To put that in perspective, it's a 17% jump from 2024, which was itself a record year. Solar led the way with 647 gigawatts of new installations. Wind rebounded strongly with 167.
Those numbers are almost hard to process. What does 814 gigawatts actually look like in the real world?
It means total global wind and solar capacity now sits at over 4,100 gigawatts. And according to Ember Energy Think Tank, all that new capacity avoided $138 billion in gas import costs last year alone. That's the story that keeps repeating itself this year. Renewables aren't just good for the planet, they're good for the bank balance.
And it's happening everywhere, not just in wealthy nations. We talked about Pakistan earlier. This is a global shift driven by economics as much as policy.
There are real challenges ahead, of course. Grid infrastructure needs massive investment to handle this much intermittent power. Storage technology has to keep pace, and not all installed capacity generates power immediately.
But the trajectory is unmistakable. The world added more clean energy in 2025 than anyone thought possible 5 years ago.
And all of it started with the simple fact that sunlight and wind are free.
Time for our rapid fire round. Here are this week's numbers that deserve your attention.
2,600 megawatts. That's the capacity of Virginia's new offshore wind project, which just started delivering clean electricity to the grid. When it's fully running this winter, it'll power around 650,000 homes.
17%. That's the share of U.S. electricity now coming from wind and solar, according to new government data. The highest it's ever been. And it's being driven by economics, not just policy.
55 countries. That's how many nations ICRISAT's new Catalyst Initiative will work across, developing climate-resilient crops for smallholder farmers in drought-prone regions. Millions of livelihoods depend on getting this right.
Next generation magnetic memory. Researchers at Tsinghua University announced a breakthrough that could make everything from smartphones to supercomputers faster and more energy efficient. Early days, but one to watch.
And finally, Bounce Back Netball, a grassroots program in Preston, England, just won Community Initiative of the Year for getting women back into sport after the pandemic. Sometimes the biggest wins happen in the smallest places.
Love that one. From gigawatts to netball. That's range. That's your Bright Side Daily for Saturday.
If any of these stories made you feel a bit more hopeful about the world, share this episode with someone who could use some good news today.
And if you want the full stories with all the links and sources, head to thebrightside.news. Everything we cover is there in detail.
We'll be back on Monday with more stories that deserve your attention, including some breakthroughs in food science that could change what ends up on your plate.
Until then, enjoy your weekend. And remember, the world's making more progress than the headlines suggest.
See you Monday.